That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
The word of God for the people of God. Hasn't this been fun? Seeing the faith of the children, listening to them declare it, and leading us in worship and singing and praising and laughing and having such joy as they did it. I think we need these moments in life because sometimes storms come. You know, sometimes storms come unexpectedly. And they make life difficult on us. Sometimes a storm can appear in a financial crisis. Other times storms can appear with a terrible health issue. Other times there's relational problems that just can't seem to get fixed. And whatever the storm is that comes, it's good to know that we're not alone as we go through it. You know, this message, it's titled, "There is a Great Calm." And what we're going to look at this morning is, how can we find a calm in the middle of a storm? How can we find peace when maybe the wind is blowing? I don't know if you've got on Facebook much, but I saw a report from the weather guy who... from the Weather Channel, and he was acting like he was getting knocked down by the wind, and he was blowing back and forth everywhere, and what you see behind him is two people walking along, not even being affected. And he's been given a real hard time, because they're like, "You were making all that up." And their explanation was he was standing in grass, and it was a little bit slippery. But we don't do that in our lives, do we? Right? We don't pretend there are storms when they're not there. No, the storms that come to us, whether they're literal, whether they're spiritual, whether they're physical, it doesn't matter what they are. When they come, we usually don't make them up to be something that they're not. What we usually do is kind of lose our cool in the middle of it. And then you see someone like Jesus. Someone who is so calm, so calm, in fact, he just took a nap. He knew that storm was coming. Didn't worry him for a second. How could he remain calm? And how can we remain calm in the middle of our storms? You know, when Missy and I were on our honeymoon several years ago, I'm not going to say how many because that makes me feel old. But when we were on our honeymoon years ago, we faced a storm. It was a big storm. It was a blizzard. I had never seen a blizzard. Always wanted to see one. Now I have. And when we were out in Colorado and in this little bitty resort town that had the world's largest hot spring swimming pool. One night when we swam, it snowed 4 inches while we were swimming outside. It was awesome. Then we got back to the hotel and we watched the weather. And they said, "We're calling for 24 feet And we looked at each other and we thought, we better get out of here. And so we rushed back to Denver. And we barely made it. Cars were going off the road left and right. Semis couldn't make it. They closed the interstate when we got off of it. And the only reason we made it, I'm convinced to this day, is because the Holy Spirit, as we stood at the counter to get our rental, told me to upgrade to something with four-wheel drive. And so I did. So we could make it back in case something happened. And sure enough, something did happen. Something happened so bad that our flight got canceled and we had to use that four-wheel drive vehicle to drive all the way home from Nashville to make it by Christmas. And I share that with you to help you see and understand that just as Jesus was with the disciples in the stern of that boat, and just as he came out and he rebuked the winds, and he said to the sea, "Be still," he can do that same thing for you and me. He can come out and rebuke the storms in your life. He can come out and look at what you might consider to be chaos and say, "Be calm." You don't have to be overcome by that. And so what we're going to look at this morning is, where does that calm come from? And the first thing we're going to do is look at where it doesn't come from. The calm in life's storms doesn't come from controlling your situation. How many of us like to control our situations? How many of us, when things pop up, we get a to-do list ready, we figure out how we're going to tackle it, and we just brace and we get going? I want you to know you can try that, but that's not going to give you calm. In fact, that's going to up your stress level and your anxiety about tenfold. Because what the disciples found is they had no control. I mean, at least some of them were very experienced fishermen. They had crossed the Sea of Galilee countless times. They had been caught in the weather. This wasn't their first rodeo. And yet here they are terrified because this was a big one. If you're familiar at all with the Sea of Galilee, you know that it is below sea level. That means that when the mountains around it, the wind comes down, it creates these storms that pop up out of nowhere. It's about 600 feet below sea level. And we all know what happens when warm air and cool air collide. So here they're in this storm, and they probably did everything they knew to do, right? I mean, if you put me out on a boat in a storm, good luck. I have no clue what to do except turn to shore and get there as fast as I can. But these guys knew what to do. They probably knew how to ride out the storm. We're not told they tried it, but I'm sure they did. I'm sure their first result, their first instinct was to try and control it. To try and brace the boat, to try and secure up everything so that they could be safe. And what they found is the more they tried to exert control, the less control that they had. Maybe you've done that in your own life. Maybe you can think back to a moment where you tried to exert control. And the more you tried to control matters, the more you realized that you couldn't. But I want you to know there is a freedom that comes from realizing that your ability to influence the events in your life is limited. There's a freedom that comes from that. The first thing you see the first thing that you experience after that moment is that what is happening around you begins to lose some of its power. If I can control everything around me and something powerful is there, then I try and take it on. And the more powerful it is, the more power I exert, and it becomes the sole focus of my reality. But when I realize I can't change it, Then I start focusing on someone else, don't I? Then instead of focusing on what's happening around me, I start focusing on what's happening above me. And that becomes a priority for me. So now all of a sudden, it's not how can I defeat this obstacle in my life. It's, all right, what is God up to in the middle of my storm? What does God want to teach me in this? If I have to go through it and I can't avoid it, Jesus had a lesson to teach the disciples here. It was about faith. It's about trust. And it was about a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the very Son of God. And he also taught them that what is happening within you is more important than what's happening around you. He took it back to faith. He said, why are you so afraid? Why is your heart so troubled? Why can't you trust me? Has Jesus ever had to say that to you? Has he ever had to reach out and into your life and say, will you trust me today? Will you rely on me today? The disciples were worried about what's going on the outside. And Jesus is worried about what's going on the inside. And Jesus is trying to help them to understand that no matter what happens around you, you can have peace within you. All through him. Psalm 89 verses 8 and 9 says it like this. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Maybe you're here this morning and the thing you need to hear is stop trying to control everything. Because you can't. Just as the disciples couldn't, you can't. And I want you to know that's an okay place to be. Another thing we notice is that the calm in life's storms don't come from downplaying your situation. The disciples didn't downplay things. They weren't ignorant of what was going on. They knew their lives were in danger. They knew their lives were in peril. And they cried out. They pleaded with God. They went in and they woke Jesus up as he slept in the stern and said, are you going to save us? Maybe you've asked that question before. Maybe you've wondered what God was up to and asked, are you going to save me? Are you going to help me? See, sometimes people like to make light of what they're going through. They like to ignore it. They like to reject it. And Jesus never asked us to do that. And I think we're often tempted to do it because it's a way to protect our hearts. If I ignore what's going on around me, I can ignore how it makes me feel. I can ignore all the pain and the way it challenges me. I think it's also a way that we can protect our hope. If we minimize what we're going through, then we can just kind of be our own cheerleader, cheer ourselves on, not acting like there's a problem. I think it's a way to avoid doubt. To protect our faith. But Jesus wants you to know he's never asking you to make light of what you're going through. When someone comes to Jesus in worry, with worry in their heart, Jesus never says, oh, you big baby. You better get over it. Instead, Jesus helps them to be released from it. And that leads us to the main idea of this passage, the calm in life's storms comes from Christ's participation in your circumstances. Jesus is the one who comes. He is the one who makes you calm. Missy and I have been going through a big ordeal. A lot of you have heard this, not everyone has. We are in the process of selling our home, which is under contract, and buying a new home so that my father and my mother can come live with us. And it has been a struggle. We had a house picked out. We thought it was perfect. And it fell through. Why did it fall through? Because ours wouldn't sell. The housing market was so hot. And then we put ours on the market. And we were like, where'd all the buyers go? Anybody ever felt like that in your life? It's like you just missed the big ticket. And so we were struggling. All I can tell you is the whole time I had this peace in my heart. And I knew that one way or another, God was going to lead us to the home that He wanted for us. And so we prayed. We trusted. We had it picked out, what we thought was the home. But our prayer the whole time was, Lord, if this is not your will, make it collapse. And collapse it did. And so Missy and I are like, I guess it's back to the drawing board. So we started searching again while our house is on the market. And we thought, well, what's going to happen if our house sells and we don't have anywhere to go? I thought I might be calling some of you and seeing if you'll take us in. But still, I had that peace. I can't explain it. Why? I can't explain it, and I will in a minute. But I couldn't explain. Based upon my circumstances, I should have been a wreck. I should have been just like the disciples. Missy should have been just like the disciples, running around going, God, what are you doing? And yet there was a great calm. And then we found another house, and we prayed, and we asked the Lord, if this is your will, help us to agree to terms. Help us to walk into it. And if it's not your will, block us at every turn, and we are completely okay with that. We agreed to terms, and it wasn't 4 days before our house was sold. You see, I believed that God protected us from purchasing that first house because He had something better for us in the second house. And because we were willing to trust Him with our future, even when the circumstances seemed shaky, He responded to that. But how did I have that calm? How did I have that peace when life was as an uncertain as really I've ever faced? I mean, here I'm running around. Yes, I faced health uncertainties with my parents, but I'm talking about Missy and I. We're sitting here wondering if we're going to be homeless and maybe we'll have to rent an apartment for 3 months. Maybe we should build a house. I mean, we were having all these conversations trying to figure out what we should do. But I knew God was going to work it out. And that peace, it didn't come from what was happening around me. It came from what God was doing within me. It came from the Spirit of God stilling me, helping me to be quiet. Just as Jesus slept peacefully in the stern, the most inner part of this boat, the Holy Spirit dwelling in the innermost part of me kept saying, be still. Be still. Be still. And I want you to know He'll say that to you too. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. The Holy Spirit is ready to quiet your life. Sometimes that comes from calming the storm. But sometimes it doesn't. Jesus calmed the storms here. But you know what? There's other places where people had to suffer. And they had to go through it. And they stayed calm and peaceful even in the midst of it. I think about Stephen as he was stoned to death. And what did he do? He prayed. He just prayed. How could he do that? Because he had the Spirit of the living God dwelling within him, saying, "You be still." See, we often ask God, "Quiet the waters around us, quiet the waters around us." And God's like, "Why don't you let me start by quieting you? I'm going to work from the inside out." And what you'll find is the wind might still be blowing. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray and ask God to intervene in your circumstances, but often that's all we ever pray for. I want you to add to that prayer what we see Jesus trying to challenge the disciples to do. Lord, help me to trust you in this. Help me to have faith in you in this. And even if these waters keep a raging, help me to be still and help me to be calm. I think about all the children that have been up here. Today on this Children's Sunday, one of the things I love most about children is their ability to trust. Whether they're worried about a thunderstorm, whether they're worried about a test or anything else, children have a capacity to believe when sometimes we adults can't. And they often can stay calmer. Christopher, over the years, he didn't mention this, he's been afraid of the thunderstorm before, right? And one time, he was so afraid. We were standing outside. It was lightning off the distance. He ran and hopped in the car. He wanted to get away from it. Until I looked at him and I said, "It was going to be okay. That we're safe." That's all he needed to hear. And then he trusted. Maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. You are safe. God is with you. Let him start calming your life. He might calm your circumstances. You should pray for that. But he'll always calm your heart. He'll always quiet your soul, all through the work of your Spirit. Will you allow him to do that today? Let us pray. Almighty God, it is so easy for us to get rattled, to be so overcome by the storms of life that we can't even stop for a moment to trust you. Lord, forgive us for that. And help us to remember that though the waters may rage, though the winds may blow, still you rule supreme. We pray that you would quiet our hearts today, that you would help us to trust you enough to allow you room to operate. Let that be our choice, not just today, but every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes up to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If you need to just hear those words, be still, be calm. If you need to hear him this morning over any matter in your life, come down to this altar and pray. Yes, I want you to pray about whatever it is that's concerning you, but I also want you to pray and ask God to help you to be still, even in the middle of it. That's what he taught the disciples. That there can be a great calm, a great peace in your life if you'll choose to accept it.